Well, praise Jesus. Get your Bibles out, church. That was pretty sad. Come on, get your Bibles out. We should be excited about going to the Word of God, so we ought to have a little woohoo. There you go. And go, if you would, to the book of 1 John chapter 1. Now, there's also something in your bulletins this morning about dinner on the grounds. And so if you haven't paid attention to that, look at it. It's something that forgot to be announced. And so look at, there's a little deal in there. I don't know, I think you got to buy raffle tickets to go to the dinner on the grounds next month or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know, it's self-explanatory, right? First John chapter 1. You know, you sit here this morning and in church here in our nice little sleepy town of Utopia, Texas. And, you know, some of you traveled from big cities to be here, like Sabinal and Lakey and Uvalde and Rio Frio to get here. But it really amazes me what God is doing right now with the ministry and the broadcast here, because right now, this morning, that there's people from 45 countries watching or listening on SoundCloud to the broadcast. There's 4,000 to 5,000 people per month going to the websites from countries all over the world to be here with us this morning. And so if y'all are one of those people, I'm glad y'all are here. So there's a lot more here going on than just us. Amen? Because people are hungry for God's Word right now. And I'm going to... I kind of started a message last week and just kind of rambled around a little bit, and I'm going to define it a little bit more this morning, but I really want you to know this and hear this, and it's not a cliche, it's not a something I didn't have anything better to say, so I just came up with it this morning, but something I want you to understand. God is moving across the body of Christ right now, and the thing that He's trying to do, it's a real simple thing, it's not complicated. Or maybe I just reduce things to their simplest common denominator, you know, because I'm pretty simple and common, is that He just wants to talk to you. I mean, that's basically it. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a one-on-one with you and Jesus. He wants to be able to be with you in life, and He wants to walk with you in life, and He wants to help you through the situations of life, and He wants to be there when you have needs and concerns and joys and whatever. He just wants to communicate with you. How about that? Pretty simple. In other words, Jesus wants to be in charge. Huh? And so anyway, I'm preaching and starting this message this morning talking about fellowship. I got hold of this after the Holy Spirit began to speak to me after the message. I just got through preaching about listening to lies. And I came across this scripture here, not came across it like I've never seen it, but saw it in a different light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. That's where we'll start this morning. It says, "This is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you." Think of what He said there. "This is a message which we have heard from Him, Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." He's saying here that this message that came from heaven to earth through the apostles that they're trying to tell everybody with is God wants to have fellowship with you. Now, isn't that funny? That was spoken, just painting with a big brush, 2,000 years ago. And that's what God's trying to say today. So obviously, it must not have got across then to everybody. Are y'all with me? What's happened is that the world's come and we've reduced God into a religious figure, into a building, into a cross, into a stained glass, into a pew, into a a non-pew, a Bella Hay, whatever way you've been worshiping God. And we've gotten God into a place where we're walking with Him through religious lenses in our eyes rather than just having fellowship. Now, you guys, we're all good country people around here, and we know how to have fellowship. Don't we? Sit around, talk, drink iced tea, visit, laugh, play music, play cards, do whatever, throw horseshoes, pitch washers. Come on, right? We know how to get together. Nobody, you know, if you're around here and it's country, and somebody says, you know, come on, we're going to have a party over at my house. Come on over and have some fellowship with us. You don't have to think about, okay, now how do I do that? You don't have to get out a manual for what is proper etiquette for redneck fellowship. Right? You don't have to think about that. You don't go into the manuals and look it up and have to get on there and Google it. Fellowship with rednecks. How do we do this? You know, how do we dress? What are we going to take? You know, sausage. Or anything stuffed in a casing. It works. Cheese always works. Any kind of cheese, right? Guacamole, tortillas, fajitas. Man, it works, right? Are y'all with me? You don't have to sit around and think about how to do it. You just naturally do it. Why? Because we've been doing it all our lives. It's not something that you have to go in there and you have to try to break down and get all into it and think about this. It's just a natural thing. You just show up and you just walk in and you just do it. You just have fellowship. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be with God. We're supposed to have a relationship with God Almighty that we know how to go to the throne room. We know how to attend the party. We know how to fellowship, to talk, to communicate, to have whatever, to laugh, to whatever. But what's happened in life is that in so many people's lives, and I'm not talking about just y'all, I'm talking about the world and the religious world, is we've taken God and He's become to this thee and thou God, and this God the, you know, oh God and mighty and powerful, you know, and so we don't know how to do that. Are y'all with me? I don't know how to do it. Put me in the middle of the Vatican or a high church. I don't know how to operate. I don't know what to do. I've just learned in life, if I'm in that situation, just try not to open my mouth and I'll be okay. Are y'all with me? I'm country. I'm simple. I'm just common. I just want to have fellowship. I just want to talk. I don't know there's divisions of in relationships. I don't know that, oh, I wasn't supposed to talk to him. What do you mean I wasn't supposed to talk to him? Hey, man, you put your britches on like I do. What's the big deal? Are y'all with me? It's just, this is the way it should be in heaven. This is the way our relationship, this is the way God wants us to have a relationship with Him. That our fellowship, and we can say, hey, God, man, I'm really ticked today. I'm having a rough day. And just talk to Him. And it's not going to be odd. Are y'all with me? This is the fellowship that Jesus is talking about here, or the apostles were talking about that Jesus had explained to them, that God wanted to have with you, so that then the sacrifice that Jesus had paid for you on the cross, His blood that He had shed for you, then made it right for you to be able to have this fellowship and to cleanse you from all sin so that you can just sit there and talk to the Father. Are y'all with me? Not be intimidated by the devil, intimidated by the world, intimidated by anything, that you couldn't have your relationship with the Father because you didn't think you were worthy to be there to have a relationship with Him. Now, He's God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth and all therein. But He's my daddy. And the Bible says in Galatians 4 that my spirit cries out, Abba, Father. It cries out, Daddy, Daddy. Are y'all with me? That's the way the relationship and the fellowship should be. So what I want to do is I want to look at some things here. And I want to kind of maybe change some things. There's a term that's used a lot in church. Not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying it's a church term called walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit to me is like when people have told me before, well, you just have to receive. Just pray and then receive. And I'm like, man, if you tell me where the desk is, tell me where the receiving line is, tell me where the door is, I'll receive. I don't know what you're talking about. That religious jargon doesn't compute with me. It's like when you say walking in the Spirit, to me, it makes me think of walking in the clouds or turning into, you know, Casper. Right? Is it just me or y'all with me here this morning? In other words, it's not normal lingo I would use every day. Now, if you took walking in the Spirit and just said it this way, it's just another way for saying having a really intimate fellowship with God. I understand that. Walking in the Spirit just means having fellowship. I know how to have fellowship. Are y'all with me? You know, I think sometimes that we let our minds get too technical, overthink things, and sometimes we end up thinking religiously. And like, for instance, can you ever imagine being around Jesus and how would you feel? And how would you, have you ever just sat there and thought of Jesus is at the party and what would be your reaction? How would you interact with him? Can you ever imagine just sitting down and teasing with Jesus? Hey, cute sandals, Lord. Would you dare do something like that? Or feel like thou might be smote with a lightning bolt? Come on. I'm just trying to break down some of your thinking and just trying to just talk about fellowship here. I'm just trying to get you to just not be stiff this morning and to listen and hear. And I'm not saying one way's right and another way's right. You know, we all are different and we all have different ways, but I'm just wanting you to understand something. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you in an intimate way, but it's going to be in a way that you understand fellowship. Does that make sense? In other words, why would the Lord come to you and speak to you in verbiage that you're not used to? Well, that's just how he is and who he is and what? No, no, no. No, no, no. See, you may have been hearing and having fellowship and hearing from the Lord all the time, but you never realized it was the Lord because you didn't think he'd talk like that. Because you're thinking he's full of pomp and he's, you know, chanting and blowing smoke around everywhere and parting water and, you know, and he's not real. He's not relevant to you because you can't fellowship with him because this is what's in your mind. It's been ingrained in you through years and years and years of religious training. And so you can't, when Jesus is standing right there and saying, hey, what's going on? You don't recognize him as Jesus. Because you think, well, surely the Lord wouldn't talk to me like that. But how would he talk? How would he talk to you? How would he have fellowship with you? Listen to me, the Lord's going to relate to you the only way you can understand a relationship. Are you with me? If you're a fine china kind of person, then he could relate to you like that because you would understand it. But if you're paper plates and plastic fork kind of person, he's going to be right there with you. Like to me, I love paper plates. Paper plates are the greatest thing on the face of the earth. I would eat every meal of my life on a paper plate. It's smart. Eat, throw it away. Glory to God. You know, if it wasn't for the grace and the etiquette of my wife over here, I'd have like one fork, one knife, one coffee cup, and then a stack of paper plates. When she's gone, that's it. I don't dirty but about 4 utensils in the whole house. Just wash it off, wipe it off, eat it with it again. It's okay. So if the Lord was going to come try to speak to me and he's going to bring fine china talking, I'm not going to follow. So he's not going to do that. It's the ability of Jesus to come and meet you and have fellowship with you right where you are in life. And what I'm saying to you is if you're a fine china person, that's okay as long as you're having fellowship with him. But don't bring your fine china to my house if we're eating on paper plates. Are y'all with me? Don't try to tell me he'll only talk with you in fine china. Because he'll talk with me over, we don't even have to have paper plates, you know? One of the greatest mental remembrances that I have is being in Mexico, and we went out to this market, and it was a bunch of pastors and myself. We were down there. We've been preaching, and they went down there, and they just rolled out wax paper onto the table, like through the across the whole table, and just started piling meat, and then they just piled tortillas, and we just got tortillas and just ate. It was glorious. It was heaven. That's the way heaven was going to be served to me. I mean, okay, this is a good one. What is your idea of the marriage supper of the Lamb? How's it going to be set up? How's it going to run? Like, I don't feel comfortable at going to any place where they have to put a name tag for where I'm supposed to sit. I don't like that. It just, I don't know, gives me the willies. Is that the way your idea of the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be? Or is it going to be a bunch of guys with Jesus around the pit? And everybody's just pulling off some lamb and we're eating and having fellowship. What I'm trying to drive across to you this morning is you cannot put yourself in a position to hear from heaven that you're not used to and you're not comfortable with and you don't understand, because if that's the way you're trying to hear from God, you're going to miss it because you don't understand that speech. And Jesus is not one way and that's it. And that's the only way you can hear him. He's going to come to you and speak to you and talk to you however you can hear him and however you're comfortable in fellowship. Now, does that mean we all need to be, you know, slobs and whatever? No. I'm not talking about that. I'm just trying to get your minds to understand that Jesus wants to talk to you right where you're at. He wants to have fellowship with you right where you're at. If you're driving a bulldozer or a Mercedes, he doesn't care. He just wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But if you're not looking for that relationship because you don't think in your mind that you're in the proper mode and etiquette, therefore he wouldn't talk to you, you're going to miss Jesus, who is standing right there visiting with you, talking to you. You're going to miss him. So walking in the Spirit is nothing more than having fellowship with Jesus and understanding this is how Jesus is speaking to you and what he's saying to you and how you're understanding him, because this is where you're at in fellowship. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, that's really good. Let's go look at John chapter 4 for a second. John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him, but God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we read something like that, and we're like, we don't understand because we don't understand the Spirit. Can I put something just real simple to you? One of the most theologically discussed, torn apart, more information out there in life that's so confusing you can't even understand it, is on the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. People go into giant debates, and I see it so simply. I see the Trinity so simple. There's God the Father, the creator of the world, maker of man. There's God the Son, Jesus, who paid the price for us. And there's God the Holy Spirit that's walking with us each and every day. It's all God. It's one God. Three ways we can relate and have fellowship. Are y'all with me? It's simple. I don't know why we have to make it complicated. It's simple. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's either the Father, Jesus, or the Holy Ghost. Most of your time that you're walking in here on this earth, if you really want to be technical about it, it's the Holy Spirit wanting to be there and walk with you and have fellowship with you and get you to understand the things of God and walk with the things of God. But whenever moment you say the Holy Spirit, everybody freaks out because they think, again, cast for the friendly ghost, something I can't control. Oh my gosh, I'm going to fall down. I'm going to do something that I didn't want to do. I'm going to be embarrassed. Right? I say if it's God, I want it and I want it all. That's me. I want to understand the things of the Spirit of God. I want to understand the workings of the Holy Ghost. I want to understand what He's doing and what He's trying to teach me in life so I can understand fellowship. All right? Now, think of this. If you went to a party and... Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble on this, so I'll just give me this one. But if you went to a party and it was just your friend's party, common party, just casual party, and you went, and this was a little out of character for you, you show up in a formal, gloves on, whole nine yards. Well, right off the bat, everybody say, are you okay? Because it's kind of different, right? And then don't get mad at me about this. And then you said, listen, let's just have some music, and you were just having a nice party, and man, you went and put on, ZZ Top. So now you're playing ZZ Top in a formal. Everybody say, you're freaking out, and you're freaking everybody else out. What's wrong? Are y'all with me? You just sound, it'd be odd. Well, when I'm walking with the Holy Spirit, I'm just wanting Him to show me how does Jesus like to fellowship so that I'm not the weirdo in the formal at the wrong time with the Lord. Are y'all with me? I want to know what makes Jesus happy. I want to know what does He like to do? Now, there's a few things that you can pick up from there. I know God likes to barbecue. I mean, He's into barbecuing, right? He likes barbecue and smoke and cooking meat. I mean, the whole Bible's full of it. Animal sacrifices everywhere. I know that God doesn't like pigs. Hates pigs. I can relate to that. If I was going to strike up a conversation with the Father and I didn't know what to say, I'd say, yeah, I don't like pigs too. I used to be in the hog business. Went broke in the pig business. So, are y'all with me? There's certain things that the things of God that He wants to have fellowship with, and what we're always trying to do is put Him in this place that He's untouchable. But God is wanting you to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it that God likes? How does He like to fellowship? What does He like to do? How can you communicate all day long with the Lord and you understand these things? Well, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to try to help you to understand who God is and how He operates. All right? Now, I can tell I'm not going to get real far in this message this morning because that was all my introduction. So the only way I know to help is to go into the Word and then find somebody that you can see was really walking in the Spirit and see what did they do. And then look at their lives to try to help us to understand that. So the person that to me in the Bible that besides Jesus himself who walked more in the Spirit than anybody was Daniel. And so go into your Bible to Daniel chapter 3 and we're going to look at a story here. When I get to heaven, Daniel is one of the first people I want to meet just to see what he really looked like. Daniel was one of the young men that was taken captive when Nebuchadnezzar overran Jerusalem and carried everybody back to Babylon. And he had him in there. And if you really ought to, you know, for this week, you ought to read Daniel chapter 1 through 4 just to get a grasp of who he is and remind yourself of who he is. But he was a young man that wouldn't take up the ways of the Babylonians. They wanted him to eat a certain diet. And he says, no, that's not what God likes to eat. How did he know what God liked to eat? Because he had fellowshipped with him. He knew what was pleasing to God. He knew what the Word said was right. And so when they offered him something else, he's like, I'm going to be successful, but I'm not going to be successful doing this. You see, if you know God and you know what God likes, and then you do what God likes, then everything starts working good for you. Right? So he knew what kind of food God liked or said was good food. So he said, look, I can't eat this greasy stuff. Literally, that's what he told him. He said, man, I ain't eating this old greasy Babylonian food. I'm doing what God told me. I want to eat this. So Daniel kind of put his foot down and said, look, I know God's ways, and this is what I'm going to do. So we find in chapter 3 that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set up a golden image of himself. And, you know, it was a great big statue and it was out in the middle of everything. And they came up with this idea that they would, every time the music played, they cranked up the band, that everybody should fall down and worship the statue. Well, wait a minute, they got a problem. Because Daniel and his friends know that idol worship's not something that pleases God. They fellowship with God. They know that that ain't what he likes to do. So they're like, a lot of people would get in a big tizzy about it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they're just like, it's not really what we're going to do. It's what are you going to do? Because we know what God likes and I'm not breaking fellowship with my God. See, we forget about breaking fellowship with God. God never breaks fellowship with us. We always break fellowship with Him. Hello? Because God's doing something and we don't really want to do that. We want to do something else. And we are the ones that break fellowship with Him. He's always there. He's always open. Arms open to have fellowship with us. Right? So, everybody pointed out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's counterparts there, weren't falling down and worshiping the statue. So the king said, I can't believe they ain't going to do it. Fire up the band, boys. And they fired up the band, and they wouldn't bow. So it made the king mad. And if you pick up the story, let's just pick it up in verse 13. I'm in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. So it says, Nebuchadnezzar then was enraged and fury, and he gave a command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so that they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and says, is it true that, you know, you're not going to bow down, you're not going to serve, and that you do not serve my gods and worship the golden images I'd set up? Now, if you're ready at the time to hear the sound of the horn and the flute and all the band, and you'll fall down and worship the image that I've made, good. But if you do not worship, we'll cast you immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Now, verse 16, I want you to look at this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which we have set up. Now, for years I'd heard this last little part, verses 17 and 18, preached, and like, okay, we're believing God to get deliverance, but if we don't get delivered, then, you know, it's okay. But one day I was reading this, and the Holy Spirit says, does that sound like what Jesus would do? Does that sound like God? I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, just because people preach like that, does it mean it's exactly right? And I said, well, what are you talking about here? And I read it again, and it was like the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to see how God thinks. It really should be read this way. Verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king, period. In other words, their attitude, one says, yeah, if you want to throw us in the burning fire, it don't make any difference because our God's able to deliver us. God's going to set us free. He's going to deliver us. But if not, because there was a period, then it starts. But if not, in other words, king, if you change your mind and you don't want to go to this showdown, in other words, if you don't want to look like a fool here in just a minute, if you want to change your attitude, king, and you want to back off, because don't push this because God's going to win. If you want to change, because we're not changing. We've already said it. This is what we're doing, and God's able to deliver us. But if you want to change and not make this a big show, then let it be known, king, that we're still not going to serve God. So don't make your God. It doesn't make any difference what you're going to do. And I was laughing about that because that's really the way God thinks. The able to be delivered is already set in stone. But if they want to back off, you see, folks, you got to understand something. We've already read the end of the book and we win. Listen to me. We've already know the devil is defeated and God is on the throne. We already know that heaven is ours. We already know that no matter what happens in the world, no matter what anybody wants to change into, that we do win. Are y'all with me? So then you know the story from 19. You know, the king gets mad. Verse 19 here, and he tells them to heat the thing up seven times hotter, and then he tells them to bind them all up and just with their clothes and everything on. And the king, verse 22, was so urgent that, you know, he heated it up, the furnace so hot that when the men took them in to throw them in, that it killed the guys that were throwing them in. And so they land in the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Now listen to me. When you learn God's ways and you walk with God, then and you have fellowship with him, and if you want to call it learning to walk in the Spirit, or you just want to call it having fellowship with God, whatever, and you learn God's ways, well, then you come to a place in life that even though you're faced with a fiery furnace, you're not scared. Because God promises you that no matter where you are in life, he's always going to be there with you. Matter of fact, Jesus said no matter how far you go to the depths of the sea or to the heights of the air, you're not going to ever get away from the Spirit. I'm always going to be there. Whether you're going through a trial or you're going through a joy, right? If you're going through victory or you're having a rough spot in life, doesn't make any difference. God's always there. When you learn to walk in the Spirit, when you learn to have fellowship with God, then he's always just right there, as close as the mention of his name. Are y'all with me? You got to understand, God right now wants to have fellowship with you so that you're not ever afraid of anything coming at you in life because you know he's right there. And if you've built this relationship, then you don't have to worry about anything. No matter what's happening, no matter what looks like blowing up in life, it doesn't matter because you just say, Lord, what do we want to do about this right here? You're not having to fall down and say, oh, God, where are you? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. Oh, no, you walk in fellowship every day. You walk in a relationship with him every day of every moment of your life. You're not having to look for him. He's there. Because you've understood what it means to have fellowship with Him. My wife calls me on the phone. I don't say, Laura, is that you? I know her voice. I don't even have to check caller ID. Are y'all with me? It's that relationship you have with Him that the fiery furnace doesn't scare you because you're walking every day with Him. So what are you scared about it? Now, I love this. They throw him into the fire. Verse 23 says, the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, this must have been a really big furnace. This must not have been like trying to stuff them through the hole of a fireplace or something. I mean, we're talking about a good-sized furnace, and it's so hot that it's killed the guys throwing them in. And so it says that they fall down in the midst of it. So, I mean, you must have been able to look and see, you know, what's going on. And so he says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, verse 24, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they looked and said to the king, true, O God. And he said, look, he answered, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, of all the stories in the Bible that I love, this is one of the coolest, okay? I don't know, and we'll never know till we see the DVD when we get to heaven, of how this all, what was the expression on their faces as they were going into the fire. You know what I mean? I don't know. Right? But I mean, there would have been a little apprehension, I got to admit, if I was headed to the furnace. But something would have caught on pretty quick that the guys with me got burnt up and I'm still okay. And then, y'all know me, once I saw this is going on, boy, I would have turned the tables on this so quick. It would have been like, yeah, come on in, boys, everything's great, get out of here. Because once you saw them dying, you're still in the heat and you're not done. Then it would, hey, wait a minute. Y'all with me? So he looks in, he says, and the fourth one's like the form of the Son of God. So what was different? In other words, what caused Nebuchadnezzar to see the fourth one as something different? There was something there. I don't know. The glow, I don't know. Well, it goes on, it says in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar went near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spoke. And he spoke to him and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. I mean, would you have not said, that's okay, come on in. And then all the administrators, all the king's counselors are together. They saw the men whose bodies the fire had no power. Their hair was not singed and their garments affected and the smell of fire was not on them. So Nebuchadnezzar said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels to deliver his servants who trusted in him. They have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any other God except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made an ash heap because there is no other God who can deliver like this. So they went from the scourge of the land to anybody that speaks against that God, we'll throw them in the furnace. Are y'all with me? And the only reason why they made it was because they had fellowship with God. The only reason why they made it was because they knew how to walk in the Spirit. The only reason why they made it was because they understood what it meant to be close to God and have God right there with them. Now, he wasn't outside the fire, he was inside the fire. Are y'all with me? And I don't know what's going on in your life today, and I don't know what's taking place, but I'm telling you, Jesus is right there in your life as close as the mention of your name. To just call out upon him, boom, he'd be there to talk with you if that's what you want, that's what you desire. If you choose to do it your own way, choose to do it by your own strength, choose to do it by your own, you know, abilities, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get burned. Because no matter how good you think you are, I hate to tell you, you're not that good. I don't want to make you mad. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm just telling you, you're not that good. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says this, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there's no death." In the way of righteousness is life. When you walk in with God in a path of righteousness, you're only going to find life added upon life, added upon life, added upon life. But when you want to choose partially life and partially death, because that's what you think will work, and you got one foot in and one foot out, you are not going to have success. Think about this, church. We have relationships with people, and we have fellowship with people. And, you know, don't look down at the ground and don't hold your hand up or anything like that, because I'll know I'll really hit you. But you all know that we all know that we're all the same and that we all have certain friends you can rely on more than others. And if somebody, well, some of your friends, if they say, okay, well, I'll be there at 6, they really are going to be there at 6. But other friends, you know that if you say, I'll be there at 6, that means they might show up by 6:30. Hello? Am I right? At least give me an amen. Okay? We all have people, and so we have people in different relationships, those that we could really trust on or those that we could stand, you know that they'll do what they said and da-da-da-da-da, right? But you can't do that with God. You can't put God and say, well, I can really believe God that he'll do this for me, but I don't really believe he'll do that for me. Because it's not really an intimate relationship. You don't really know him. He's better than that. The problem is you're not trusting him. Oh, heaven help us, there could be anything wrong with us. It's got to be God. He's got to have a fault, not us. The truth is, we're just not trusting him in those areas. Why? Because we've not really sat down and fellowshipped with him and understand his ways. Now, quickly, we'll touch on this some more next time. In Genesis 28, there's a story of Jacob. And Jacob, you know, if you read the Old Testament, Jacob his name means a supplanter. He was a deceiver. And Jacob was not the best of a brother to Esau. And everything he did, he stole his birthright, stole his blessing. And so he's left, but he goes to this place called Bethel. And he's running from his brother, and he's going to his uncle's house. And he goes to sleep. And he has a dream, and he sees Jacob's ladder. And he says that truly God's in this place, and he begins to have this relationship with God. Now, what's interesting to this, and just give me a second here. After he wakes up from the prayer, this is what he says. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, I'll give me bread to eat and put clothing on me so that I'll come back to my father's house, then the Lord shall be my God. In other words, it blew me away when you start looking at this and thinking about it that Jacob is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, who is this awesome family who is hearing God and going out, but Jacob doesn't really know God. He's the son who doesn't really know God. Isaac knew God and Abraham knew God, but Jacob, at this point of his life, he doesn't really know God. See, a lot of times we're trying to have fellowship with God, but we're like Jacob. We know who he is, but we don't really know him. So then when something doesn't go right, we blame it on God, saying, God, why didn't you do this, when we don't really understand what's going on? And the reason why is because we don't really have fellowship with him. We haven't been intimate enough with God to know him and his ways. Are y'all with me? So if his ways don't line up with our ways, we think it's God's fault. We could never believe it could be ours. And that's what Jacob had done. He said, oh, Lord, okay, if you're going to do these things for me, then you'll be my God. And this is where I want to end on this. The very first principle that you have to understand about this fellowship, this walking in the Spirit that you're ever going to do in life, is the very first thing that you have to do if you're really going to enter into an intimate relationship and fellowship with God and really walk with Him is you have to come to the place in your life that Jesus absolutely is the Lord of your life. When He's Lord, that means you're servant. Did you hear what I said? If He's Lord, that means you're servant. I was joking with my wife because there's a passage they call, Sarah called Abraham Lord. And I said to her, I said, I think it'd be good. Call me Lord Robert. It didn't fly, but I tried it. So then I tried Sir Richards, but that didn't work either. What I'm saying to you is the very first principle to walking in the Spirit or walking in this relationship with God is Jesus has to be Lord. There's a lot of people want Jesus for salvation. They want Jesus because they don't want to go to hell. They want to know and get their ticket, their confirmation number, that they're going to go to heaven because they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they don't really want Jesus to be Lord because they don't want anybody telling them what to do. Look at the person beside you and say, man, he's meddling now. There's a lot of people out there that would confess that they're Christians or would profess that they're Christians. And so, no, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But is He your Lord? Are you willing to have fellowship with Him based on His life and relationship with Him? It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Because if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on a cross for your sins and that He washed your sins away by His blood, then the next step in your life is you have to believe, well, then He's got the right answers. So I need to make Him Lord of my life and I need to do what He wants, tells me to do, not what I think is a good suggestion. You know, if I was called to Washington and I was brought into the, whatever it is, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they were about to declare a war on a nation, and they turned to me and said, Robert, what do you think we ought to do? My response then would be, well, boys, if y'all are depending on my expertise here, we're in some serious trouble. I don't know. All I can say is, go, go, go. Rah, rah, rah. Fight, fight, fight. Are y'all with me? I don't know anything about that. Are y'all with me? Who are we to sit down and tell the God that created the heavens and the earth and all therein that we're smarter than He is and there's a better way? Who are we to sit down to try to have fellowship with Him, asking us to bless what we know is not really right? And asking Him to bless that and then mad at Him when He doesn't. I myself find my in fellowship with the Lord asking these questions, you know. Lord, why don't we use plagues anymore? They would work. A plague, to send a plague over all those that don't serve you, will stand up and say, yes, this plague has been sent by God, and then they'll believe. I mean, it'll work. I know it will. And I get the usual response from the Lord. You're missing it. It's like when the apostles went up and they said, Lord, let us call fire down from heaven and burn this village up. And He turned to them and said, man, you don't even know what spirit you're up. They're like, that seemed like a good idea to us. I mean, what do you mean? Burn that Samaritan village. We'll say, God! You with me? But see, when you start spending time with the Lord, you learn that the Lord cares about everybody, no matter how big of an idiot they are. And that at one time, oh, heaven forbid, you were an idiot too, lost without him. And he had grace and mercy upon you, therefore we should take grace and mercy upon others. Are y'all with me? It's lordship. If you're going to start walking truly in the Spirit, and you're going to start walking in fellowship with him, you've got to make that decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. That means his word's true. You have to apply it. I got to tell you all this one, and then we're going to have, matter of fact, ladies, go ahead and bring the communion down. There's so much stir going on in the world right now about this and that and the other, and you know, there's a lot of crazy things happening in the world today. And I was sitting around thinking about what if, you know, y'all are going to laugh at me. Maybe we should shut the cameras off right now. But I was sitting around thinking about, like, if there was a Red Dawn situation going on. And I was just talking to the Lord about it. And you know what? You know what the funniest thing that the Holy Spirit said to me? I said, Lord, what do you think we ought to do? You know, should we do this or should we do that? And he said, why don't you have a barbecue? I'm like, what? Why would we have a barbecue? And he's like, well, I said to bless your enemies. Do good to those that spitefully use you. Why don't you just throw a barbecue for your enemies? And I was like, well, I don't want to throw a barbecue for my enemies. That ain't no fun. But you see, through fellowship, the Lord was speaking to me and saying, you know, you're not thinking right. You're not thinking like you should think. You're not thinking like I'm wanting you to think here. You're putting in your own plans and interjections. And I had to stop and repent and say, you know, Lord, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I don't want to do things my way. I don't want to do things because I know what's right. I want to do things because I'm following my Lord. Hello? So I challenge you today. Before we come up today and have communion, you may know, those of you listening and watching out there today, you may at one point of your life made Jesus Christ or ask Jesus Christ to save you, to come into your life. You believed he was the Son of God. Maybe you've never done that. If you haven't, that's the first step. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe he died on a cross for you to forgive your sins, the next step in life, folks, is to make him the Lord of your life. How do you do that? It's real simple. You be quiet and listen to him. It's not real complicated. You work for him. He doesn't work for you. The employees don't tell the boss how to run the business. The boss tells the employees what he wants them to do. He's boss. El jefe. He's in charge, not you. It's yes, sir, what would you want me to do for you? It's Jesus, how would you like to handle this situation? Looks pretty rough to me, Lord. I don't know what to do. I'm about to get scared, but I'm trusting in you. You're Lord. What do you want to do? You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, so I can trust in that, but how do you want me to handle this? Wow. What a novel idea. Let's just do what the Lord wants to do. So how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to take some time, get serious with him. You're going to have to close your eyes, you're going to bow your heads, your hearts, you're going to look down on the inside of you and say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life, and mean it. Now, we're strong-headed people around here. And there may be a time that you forget and get back into the mode of, that you're working for Him. There may be sometimes you're back into giving Him suggestions of what to do when you need to be quiet and get in your position as you're the servant and He's the Lord. Okay? But that's quickly remedied by repentance and saying, getting your heart right. But we're going to have communion now. So what a better time than right now to get serious with Him. I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to call you up here because, you know, it ain't going to do any good unless you really mean it. You're going to have to make the decision right there in your chairs. You're going to have to make the decision watching or listening today if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. If you do, then you're on the first step to having true fellowship with Him and having an intimate relationship with Him that will take you into a new level of your walk. It'll take you on a new level of your walk. So, can I have my prayer team and pastoral team come down to help me? Let me serve you so we can serve others. And right there in your chair, get serious. And when you come up here to take communion, and you're handed this piece of bread and you're handed this cup, well, that's a great place right there to be making your commitment to the Lord. For those of you watching, wherever you are, just give your life to Jesus right now. Call upon Him. He'll be there for you. Make your commitment. Make Him the Lord of your life today. Just make Him the Lord of your life today. The Scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that He took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "Now take and eat, for this is My body, which is broken for you." So Lord, this day we take Your broken body. You said that it was Your blood that would cleanse us from all of our sins. Your broken body upon that cross, that Lord would bring healing to us. So Lord, we thank You for this broken body today in our lives. Then afterwards You took the cup. And You said, "This cup's a new covenant. It's poured out in My blood for the forgiveness of sins." Lord, we thank You that Your blood has the power to wash away the sins of our lives. So today, Lord, we confess our sins to You. We repent. We ask You to be the Lord of our lives. And we thank You for Your blood washing us and cleansing us. In Jesus' name.